In ko pridem jaz nazaj, ne pa te samo stanimo tiste dolge hodnike, ne. Tam dol so vrata, pa tre vrata, ne. In jaz pridem tam, pa tre vrata, pa ne vidiš. Pa tam dol zagledam, zagledam Madonna in ošlo.
Riz.
Je bil pa lep, mlad, mlad in to ti siv, siv, ne ta nemški občaj, črn pa to ne, prav tista prava volk, ne, krasno.
Radijske zgodbe o ljudih, ki ustvarjajo duh časa, na Radiju Študent.
Hindutva v akciji. Skupina progresivnih študentov na Univerzi Jawaharlala Nehru je v indijskem glavnem mestu New Delhi je 9. februarja pripravila protest ob obletnici usmrtitve kašmirskega poslovneža Afzala Guruja. Vodstvo univerze je tik pred zborovanjem pod pritiskom nacionalističnih študentskih skupin preklicalo dovoljenje za protest. Kljub prepovedi so organizatori protest izpeljali, istočasno pa so nacionalistične študentske skupine, ki so proti protestnike obtožile proti državnega delovanja, organizirale proti protest. Nekaj dni kasneje je notranji minister Rajnath Singh oznanil, da proti državne aktivnosti ne bodo tolerirane, oblasti pa so aretirale voditelje protesta zaradi nagovarjanja k uporu.
Afzal Guru, čigar smrt je bila povod za omenjeni protest, je bil kašmirski poslovnež usmrčen leta 2013 zaradi domnevnega sodelovanja v napadu na indijski parlament leta 2001. A njegova obsodba je temeljila le na posrednih dokazih in celo indijsko ustavno sodišče je v sodbi priznalo, da neposrednih dokazov ni, vendar bo zaradi narave zločina, citiramo, kolektivna zavest družbe zadoščena le smrtjo kaznijo. Konec citata. Guru tako med kašmirci in progresivnimi deli indijske družbe velja za žrtev vesti, medtem ko ga nacionalistične, politične in družbene sile brezpogojno označujejo za terorista in protidržavnega akterja. Spor glede primera Afzala Guruja pa ni spor okoli dokaznih standardov ali smrtne kazni, temveč del vedno bolj zaostrenega ideološkega konflikta med progresivnim in kvazi progresivnim delom družbe na eni strani ter nacionalističnim in hindujsko-supremacističnim delom, ki je v Indiji trenutno na oblasti.
Študentska skupina Akil Bharatiya Vidyarthi Parishad, krajše ABVP, ki je sprožila proti proteste, je študentsko krilo organizacije Rashtriya Swayamsevak Sangh, krajše RSS. RSS, s 5 do 6 milijoni članov, največja nevladna organizacija na svetu, je hindujska supremacistična organizacija, vodena strani pripadnikov najvišje kaste, ki Indijo želi vrniti v domnevno zlato dobo hindujske kastne ureditve antične Indije. V svoji ideologiji in delovanju se zgleduje po evropskih fašističnih gibanjih, kar v indijskem kontekstu pomeni zatiranje muslimanov, kristjanov, komunistov in staroselcev. Opiše Natasha Cole iz Westminster University.
It was founded in the 1920s and many of its founder members, if you read the documents, their books, they make it quite clear that it's a Hindu supremacist organization which wants to transform the idea of India into a pure Hindu nation. And they have, you know, there it's well recognized, for example, that one of their former members, Nathuram Godse, he assassinated Mahatma Gandhi. They have also their stance on various issues during riots and at other times has been very problematic. They have sought to consciously pursue a Hindu supremacist agenda and their main aim is essentially to identify India as a Hindu nation and to create this idea of the Hindu self and that and the other to that is anybody who does not who either does not belong or does not seek to live with the goodwill of the Hindu self. It's a majoritarian supremacist, Hindu supremacist organization that is involved in a lot of that has been involved in a lot of violent incidents, such as the demolition of the Babri Masjid Mosque, which was a turning point for communal forces in the country. They have a whole range of other subsidiary organizations that target specific demographics, such as the youth, the students, farmers in small business sector, etc. So they have a whole range of cultural, social, youth and other wings or affiliated organizations. And their aim essentially is to create this culturally pure idea of a Hindu nation.
Študentsko gibanje ABVP, ki je sprožilo konflikt glede protestov na Univerzi Jawaharlala Nehruja, je torej le eden izmed členov v RSS-ovi mreži. Politično krilo RSS-a pa je stranka Bharatiya Janata Party, ki od leta 2014 vodi zvezno vlado. Njen predsednik in trenutni premier Narendra Modi je dolgoletni član RSS-a in bivši premier zvezne države Gujarat, v kateri je pod njegovim vodstvom prišlo do množičnih pogromov nad muslimani. Zaradi vpletenosti v te pogrome so bili obsojeni nekateri izmed njegovih najtesnejših sodelavcev, medtem ko njegova vloga nikoli ni bila razčiščena.
Zmaga BJP na volitvah pred dvema letoma je ideologom RSS-a na široko odprla vrata v indijsko politiko, v kateri so začeli zaostrovati ideološke in komunalistične konflikte.
V indijskem kontekstu beseda komunalizem označuje ideologijo ograjevanja posameznih verskih in etničnih skupnosti ter bolj ali manj agresivno nastopanje proti ostalim delom družbe.
Del teh konfliktov so tudi dogodki, ki se jim bomo posvetili v naslednjih minutah in že prej omenjeni študentski protesti. BJP je sicer indijsko vlado vodila že v letih 1999 do 2004 pod vodstvom Atala Biharija Vajpayeeja. A kot pojasni Prem Kumar Vijayan, profesor na Delhi University, v takratni konstelaciji BJP sama ni imela večine in je bila prisiljena v koalicijo, ki je umilila strankine hindujsko-supremacistične tendence, medtem ko ima v trenutnem spodnjem domu parlamenta BJP absolutno večino.
Vajpayee was the head of a coalition government in which the BJP was just a partner, a major partner, but not, they didn't have the seats to be a full-fledged government. And therefore, they needed someone like Vajpayee who would manage the coalition partners who had stipulated very clearly that they would go along with the BJP provided the certain aspects of the BJP's ideology never came to the fore, including, issues of anti-minority behavior, the National Democratic Alliance, the NDA government of the time, played a very strong role in tempering the BJP, in ensuring that the BJP was not entirely under the sway of the RSS. Today, that's not the case.
Osvobojen koalicijskih omejitev je RSS ojačal svoj vpliv na politiko stranke. Izmed petih generalnih sekretarjev stranke so bili trije v BJP imenovani neposredno strani RSS-a. Eden izmed njih je bil do imenovanja celo član izvršnega organa RSS. Na vodilni mesti v izpostavah v dveh ključnih zveznih državah pa sta bila prav tako imenovana vidna člana RSS-a. Kadrovanje pa se ne ustavi le v stranki, temveč se nadaljuje tudi v državnih organih. Na vodilna mesta v kulturnih in izobraževalnih institucijah, kot so Nacionalni svet za zgodovinske raziskave, Svet za kulturne odnose, Nacionalna agencija za knjigo ter Komisija za film, so bili imenovani posamezniki s tesnimi povezavami z RSS-em in v nekaterih primerih zelo vprašljivimi kvalifikacijami. Kot pove Nandini Sundar iz Delhi University, gre pri imenovanjih za ljudi, ki bodo zgodovino in kulturo razlagali skozi revizionistično hindujsko supremacistično prizmo.
The kind of history that they are promoting is also one that tries to erase the contributions of different communities, erase the contributions of different periods of histories, especially medieval India, which is the period when the Mughals were the dominant empire in North India. And they want to have a history which is focused only on ancient India when, according to them, there was a glorious age of Hindu upper caste Vedic civilization. So the kinds of people that they have appointed to various institutions like the Indian Council for Historical Research or the National Book Trust or various other organizations are the kind of people who will concentrate on the greatness of Hindu civilization at the expense of every other culture. And in this country, we have something like 4,000 different communities who have different customs, different, many different languages, many different ways of dressing and eating. And they want to destroy this diversity in favor of a single upper caste Hindu homogenous identity.
Potvarjanje zgodovine je za sile hindujskega nacionalizma, imenovanega tudi hindutva, ključnega pomena. Temelj njihove ideologije, torej glorifikacija zlate dobe antične hindujske civilizacije, namreč tako kot pri podobnih fašističnih gibanjih drugod po svetu, ne temelji na zgodovinskih dejstvih, temveč na mitu. Ker je tradicionalna barva hinduizma žafranska, se je iz revizionističnega gibanja prijelo ime žafranizacija. BJP se je tako v institucijah, ki jih nadzira, kot tudi v zveznih državah, kjer je na oblasti, lotila izobraževalnega sistema. Spremembe, ki jih na tem področju uvaja, vključujejo na primer obvezno izvajanje joge, ki dobiva vedno močnejšo politično konotacijo, pa tudi spremembe v učnih načrtih, opiše Vijayan.
The first thing we have to understand is that this government is paying a lot of attention to school textbooks and school curricula. Right? So what we found happening in the last few years, but particularly over the last since the Modi government took over, is an acceleration of curriculum content dealing with or derived from Hindu sources. It can be something as simple as enforced yoga classes, which are clearly, just a kind of veneer, a cover for Hindu exercises, you know, what I've seen as Hindu rituals being practiced. Or it can go as far as a rewriting of textbooks, whether those are history textbooks or social science textbooks, or it can be, an actual interference in kinds of disciplines. For example, we didn't have, it would have been unthinkable to have astrology as a discipline in the university. But today we have astrology. It's actually taught as a course. And if it was a kind of anthropological study of how astrology has emerged in different countries or something like that, one could understand it. But this is Vedic astrology, how to actually read palms and how to read the future by looking at the stars. This is taught in Delhi University. Right? So these are some of the phenomenally and changes of great magnitude that are coming into the country.
V zvezni državi Gujarat, ki jo je sedanji indijski premier Narendra Modi vodil med leti 2001 in 2014, so na primer kot dodatno čtivo na nižjih stopnjah izobraževanja uradno predpisali knjige, v katerih se poleg očitnega hindujskega supremacizma pojavljajo tudi trditve, da je hindujska civilizacija že pred 5000 leti izumila letenje, televizijo in plastično kirurgijo. Pri dokazovanju teh trditev pa se opirajo na izvirno interpretacijo verskih besedil. Šolam, ki jih vodi RSS in v katerih so to vrstni učbeniki obvezno čtivo, so v nekaterih zveznih državah odobrili tudi državna sredstva. Spremne besede za te knjige ni napisal nihče drug kot trenutni premier Narendra Modi. Avtor omenjenih domislic pa je Dinanath Batra, dolgoletni aktivist RSS-a, trenutno pa predsedujoči RSS-evi izobraževalni skupini, ki, sicer neuradno, svetuje izobraževalnemu ministrstvu glede reforme šolstva.
Nadaljni poskus utrjevanja hindujsko-supremacistične mentalitete je kampanja Gar Vapsi. To je RSS-ova kampanja spreobračanja pripadnikov drugih ver v hinduizem. Pri tem ne gre toliko za poskus spremembe demografskih razmerij, kot za simbolni in politični akt. Že v samem imenu kampanje je implicitno vključena predpostavka, da le hindujci lahko pripadajo indijskemu narodu. Opiše Nitaša Kol.
It's a symbolic campaign. The idea that they've had, and some of the, you know, these reconversions, so basically conversions back into Hinduism, which are called Ghar Vapsi, have they've had these you know, mass reconversions at various points in the last 100 years. But the idea of this Ghar Vapsi campaign is that to project, Ghar means home and Vapsi means return. So the idea that those who are undertaking these reconversions are actually coming back home, and in essence also implying that those who are not Hindus are actually in the symbolic realm implying that they are not back home, and that they have chosen to leave home. So it has a symbolic value. It's not really meant to change the demographics. It's more important to, again and again, to reconfirm that Hindu identity. It's not the demographic change. It's the symbolic symbolic proliferation of this notion.
Poleg simbolnega utrjevanja hindujske identitete pa ima kampanja tudi neposreden politični cilj. Predstavlja obliko pritiska, s katero njeni ideologi po lastnih besedah skušajo doseči sprejem zakona, ki bo na zvezni ravni urejal spreobrnitve. Namen takšne ureditve bi bil oteževanje spreobračanja v druge religije, ne pa tudi v hinduizem, kakršna je že praksa v več zveznih državah. Opiše Sundar.
For instance, if you convert to Christianity, you have to, in states like Madhya Pradesh or Orissa, you have to report it to the district administration, which will try and which is supposed to ensure that no force or fraud was used. So the RSS narrative is that the Christians are converting people out of by offering them allurements, by offering them money, and that's why they're becoming Christians. And the requirement that they register the conversion with the administration is to prevent this fraudulent conversion. So already we have these laws in these different states, which have been there actually for a long time. Many of them were brought in even during Congress governments because of pressure from the right wing of the Congress and the BJP and its affiliates, or the RSS and its affiliates. So the problem is that conversion to Christianity or Islam is seen as criminal, whereas conversion to Hinduism is simply not even recognized as conversion, and therefore doesn't fall within the ambit of this act.
Če je v enih zveznih državah spreobrnitev v hinduizem izuzeta iz ureditve, pa v drugih ohlapna ubeseditev, aktualni oblasti pušča precej odprte roke pri odločitvah, katere spreobrnitve so prostovoljne in katere ne, ter s tem oteževanje nezaželjenih zamenjav veroizpovedi in dovoljevanje zaželjenih. To vrstno ureditev na zvezni ravni zagovarja tudi BJP, vendar trenutno za takšno potezo nima dovolj glasov v zgornjem domu parlamenta, ki ga sestavljajo predstavniki zveznih držav.
Odkrito diskriminatorne so tudi spremembe zakonodaje, ki ureja zakol, prodajo in posedovanje govedine. Določene omejitve na tem področju pozna večina indijskih zveznih držav. V dveh državah pod vodstvom BJP-ja pa so v zadnjem letu zakonodajo zaostrili in prepovedali ne le zakol, temveč tudi prodajo govedine v kakršnikoli obliki in izvoz goveda z namenom zakola. Nitasha Kol opiše problematičnost takšne zakonodaje.
It's basically not just even beef. It's the political use of vegetarianism. And on the issue of beef, of course, there is this, you know, it's a cultural marker, and that's the way in which Muslims can be harassed on the suspicion of possessing beef or transporting cattle. In addition to which, there's also the issue that there is a caste dynamic to this. So the idea that the idea of vegetarianism and is tied very much to an upper caste hierarchical notion of Hinduism. Majority of India, in the majority of India, you know, Dalits and in general, beef is one of the cheapest sources of protein for people. So it's basically a conscious cultural ideological attempt to create a marker basically of who is the pure good Hindu self and how the others need to be punished for transgressing those norms. This issue of the beef ban, now it's not even just the fact that they banned beef. Which is, you know, first of all, it's an issue because constitutionally that wasn't, you know, that wasn't the case. By banning the slaughter of cows, they've also created this atmosphere of vigilantism where people, and especially Muslims, minorities, are targeted on the suspicion of having consumed beef. So last year there was this case of, you know, there were the cases of the lynchings where there was this one particular case which was, you know, which made international news, Muhammad Akhlaq, where he was lynched to death by a mob on the suspicion of having, you know, on the suspicion of possessing beef. So it creates this kind of intolerant atmosphere and an imposition of ideology creates an atmosphere where people can be targeted by self-styled vigilantes acting in the interests of you know, the pure Hindus on the suspicion of possessing beef or transporting cattle intended for slaughter. So it creates this whole whole political climate of intimidation.
Takšna klima zastrahovanja in nasilnih incidentov, ki slejko prej izhajajo iz nje, supremacističnim silam RSS-a ustreza. Ustreza pa tudi specifično njenemu strankarskemu delu, torej stranki BJP. Kot pojasni Nitasha Cole, obstaja povezava med tovrstnim nasiljem in njihovim volilnim uspehom.
This link that some scholars have explored between the gain between riots and the gain in electoral advantage. So I quote this Yale University political science study of riots in India, which suggests that Hindu Muslim riots are electorally costly for the Congress, but riots in the year prior to an election result in an increased vote share for ethno-religious parties like the BJP. So by communalizing situation, they do have, I think that there's also a commonsensical element to it, that as a majoritarian communalist party, if there is a greater communalization, then clearly they have the demographic advantage.
Zaostrovanje komunalistične delitve kot volilna taktika ne ustreza le ideološkim interesom Hidutva in ideologom, temveč tudi njihovim kapitalskim ozadjem. Indijska korporativna elita je Modijevo volilno kampanjo podprla 670 milijoni dolarjev. A hitri liberalizaciji, ki jo zahtevajo sile kapitala, se velik in zaenkrat močan del družbe upira. To se je najočitneje pokazalo ob predlogu zemljiškega zakona, s katerim bi olajšali postopke za odvzem zemlje kmetom z namenom razvoja industrije. Modi je bil označen za nasprotnika kmetov, kar je v Indiji nevzdržna politična pozicija in sprejem zakona opustil. Poglabljanje komunalističnih konfliktov tako predstavlja prikladen vzvod za šibitev progresivne opozicije, komentira Vijayan.
One of the biggest paradoxes for the right wing in India is that they claim to be nationalist economically as well, in the sense that they want to have an economic policy on the national level which is protectionist, which protects the trader and the farmer and the laborer and so on and so forth. But they can't do that. They can't do that because their leadership is entirely backed by big business. So increasingly brazen, actually, privatization, immiserization of the polity. This is going on. Employment is going down, impoverishment is going up. The gap between rich and poor in India today is of a magnitude that is unprecedented. Farmer suicides that perhaps you may have heard of are escalating in number, precisely because farmers are unable to pay back loans that they took. So today, if beef ban is being, you know, hyped up, if people are being attacked in communal violences, if the protest in Jawaharlal Nehru University is about secularism and about freedom of speech and so on and so forth, this is actually all just a distraction from the changes that are gradually but persistently taking place at the political economic level.
Če komunalistični konflikti predstavljajo prikladno distrakcijo od ekonomske realnosti, pa je levica tista, ki razvoj ekonomske realnosti v smeri interesov kapitala dejansko ovira. Njena sekularna tradicija pa hkrati preprečuje razvoj komunalističnih sil. Kot taka predstavlja logično naslednjo tarčo hindutva kapitalske naveze in v tem kontekstu gre razumeti konflikt med študentskimi skupinami na Univerzi Jawaharlala Nehruja. Zaključi Vijayan.
So the three primary enemies of Hindu nationalism or Hindutva are, in that order, Muslims, Christians and communists. Now this is important because throughout this period, since 1925, we've seen them attacking Muslims. They have been attacking Christians since the first right-wing government, the BJP-led NDA government, came into power in 1998. And immediately they had started attacking Christians at that point. And since then, there has been a continuous series of attacks on the Christian community across India, but particularly in North India, for the last, right since 1998, so 17 odd years, 18 years. So now the latest development is that they've started targeting the communists, whom they see as communists. Hence the attack on JNU, the Jawaharlal Nehru University, protests going on in the student community here and so on. That's essentially an anti-leftist move on the part of the right wing.
Da yoga ni le telovadba, menita Cvitar in Arne.
In ko pridem jaz nazaj, ne pa te samo ostane, imam tiste dolge hodnike, ne. Tam dol so vrata, pa treba. In jaz pridem tam, pa prema vrata, pa mediš. Pa tam dol zagledam Madonna in ošlo.
Riz.
Je bil pa lep, mlad, mlad in to ti siv, siv, ne ta nemški občaj, ne, črni pa to ne, prav tista prava volk, ne, krasen.
Radijske zgodbe o ljudih, ki ustvarjajo duh časa, na Radiu Študent.